Acts chapter number 12, verse number 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Well, there was a lot going on. That was, the church was right in the sights. They were painted with a bullseye by the Roman government and certain Jewish leaders. And Peter was, of course, right there at the tip of the spear. So this story will apply to us because we are in the same kind of a day that he was in. So, Father, you are an awesome God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve you. So let your angelic host clear pathways for advancement for your kingdom here tonight. Because I and others in this room are expecting the supernatural. We expect to hear from you. We expect a new dimension that glorifies you. So be glorified here at Calvary Christian Center. And may every word honor you, covering three generations in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. The church today needs laser focus. If there ever was a day when the church needed laser focus, it is today in the United States of America. Next Sunday morning, I have a very inspirational message coming. We have an election coming up in November, but I've got a very important message to preach about some of the current matters that we're facing. And very important in its relevance to the world in which we're living and how we operate as the church. When I read about our fathers, and I read about those who are our fathers spiritually, who would go from their pulpits to the battlefield to pray for, encourage, and read the word, and then keep many of those people who were fighting against Great Britain from leaving the battlefield because they were working the lines and encouraging those people to stay and not run and fight because this is a fight that's worthy. When I recognize that we're in a fight today, it may not be with guns and bullets, thank God, but it is a vital and important war we're in today. The church needs laser focus today and to see clearly today so that we see the perfect will of God and how it needs to be obtained without fog, without distorted views of the Scripture like we hear from time to time of these aberrations of Scripture, one extreme or the other. Peter was set free in this instance, in this text I just read to you, for kingdom assignment because he had a purpose beyond being in prison, in Herod's prison. He had a purpose to serve in the church, and he was set free from that prison for that purpose. So have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Let this echo in your spirit man. So in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul writes, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." We're grateful for the doors that open, amen? But we're reminded, if you were here a couple of Sunday nights ago, that there are many adversaries. Many in the church attend services across our culture, and some of them even embrace the thematics of the church, like ours, love like Jesus, live like Jesus, lead like Jesus, but so many with very little passion. I heard Joyce Myers this morning talk about some of the places she's preached. She said, I was concerned in some of the places that I preached because of the looks on the faces of some of the people. And then I remembered what God told Jeremiah the prophet. Don't pay any attention to the faces of the people. Just preach what I told you to preach. And we find that many today in churches have little passion, and yet we have this effective door open for us that God says, you can drive my entire church through this door. We have an effective door. This is not just a message. This is a prophetic gate for the body of Christ. We're in a season. There are windows, there are doors, there are gates open to the body of Christ. So in 1 Chronicles 12, we're reminded the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. God, give us people today who have understanding of what we're dealing with, subtly, sometimes subjectively, and other times now more directly at the church. And if you don't have an understanding of the times, you're going to live in a fog and you're going to get lost, okay? Just going through the motions every single day. Just checking the box of your spiritual life and devotion. Prayers then become self-centered. They never develop any power that's available to us because we're too busy in bondage, not understanding what season we're in. We're in a very important season for the church. It will affect the entire culture. How we respond to this season affects our culture. You could miss the bus. I don't want to miss the bus. Say, understand the time. So there is an effective door open to us. And often we say, we understand the times and what we ought to do. And no, we really don't. Because if we did, we'd be riding full force. We'd be passionate about the Lord. There has to be a view that's larger than ourselves. Because listen, if that dream God gives us doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. Where we see what God wants to do in the body of Christ and how he will use it. Because listen, it's the only entity that carries a message of eternal hope. There is no other hope on this planet or in our culture other than the message that birthed out of the Church of Jesus Christ. Kings and priests who have been processed, crushed to get fresh oil, because we're called kings and priests, crushed to get fresh oil, rising up to bring the victory of the cross to the culture. We've been processed and crushed so that we can produce oil, fresh oil. And you can get bitter in that process or you can get better. And the only difference is an eye. Because it's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you. The crushing made me of better character. My crushing gave me better worship because it came out of desperation for God. My crushing gave me clearer understanding of what God says in his word. Crushing gave me understanding that's clearer of my assignment. The sons of Issachar knew what Israel should do in the moment they were facing, in the season that they were in. And here's how it reads. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. There was unity in that fellowship. There was oneness in that family. They were not divided. They knew that together in this season, they needed to stand as one. The chiefs were 200, and all the brethren were at their command. We need to be open to understand what God's doing. But traditions can cripple us. And unfortunately, they have at times. And then we come for certain songs, a particular length of message, a prayer, and then go right back out, and hell rolls right over us. Hell is to be subject to us. Do not allow social media and all kinds of distractions to keep you from what God is trying to open up for you. Know the times and know what we ought to do. And in this time, there are windows, doors, and gates that are open. Windows, doors, and gates. Windows represent opportunity. You see out of them. They represent revelation. God gives you a picture. He shows you what he's about to do. With opportunity, then we have revelation of the will of the Lord in the moment in which we live. And when you have a revelation from God, it brings acceleration. Windows are also open to let in fresh air, because before there was whole house air conditioning, you went out on the porch to get some fresh air. You opened the windows. You put a fan in front of them so you could bring in fresh air. Many don't open windows much anymore in our culture. And God says, I'm opening a window to give you a breeze, because we need a fresh word from the Lord. Windows of opportunity, of revelation, a fresh word from God. And doors, there are three types of doors. Doors with locks needing keys. With a set of keys, you can open all the doors. You have authority in this season because God has given to the church the keys. There are doors with combination locks. And Paul and Silas had to work in combination so the prison doors that they were in could be unlocked. One would pray and the other was singing. A working combination. And there's a combination for us, for the church today in 1 Chronicles. It will blast open the doors to a national renewal. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. This is the combination to the lock. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is a combination used together. They unlock God's favor. Doors with combination locks usually have great assets behind them. Banks use doors with electronic combination locks because there are many assets behind them. And some of you are about to be blessed because you have been given the right combination with the exact kinds of turns and numbers so that the breakthrough that you've expected will come to pass. All you need to break out and rise up to your destiny is at your fingertips. They're already prepared, but it takes obedience to receive fresh revelation and a hunger for God and a passion after the Lord. Are you listening tonight? Yes. Then there are automatic doors. Those are sweatless doors. Once you start approaching them, the eye sees you and it opens and you just walk right on through. No pushing, no effort. You just show up. Amen? And when your friend says they're not hiring, they don't know where the door is. But when you show up, you go through the door and the next thing, they call you back and you're hired. Because the ones who show up are chosen. You can talk yourself into staying home. Well, there's no good thing going on over there. But hear me, there are places you show up, you make the effort, you get a yes, and you get an entry. And then there are gates. They represent access into new territory. Places are to be open to you that you never thought you could qualify for. You put the limits on you. And that's what we've done in the church of our culture. You have characterized yourself. When God opens an opportunity for you, you start telling God, yes, but I didn't graduate college. Yes, but I don't have the skill. I'm not qualified as much as that other person. God is not speaking about your friend. He's speaking about your future. And many have disqualified themselves from moving in what God ordained because they didn't feel they were worthy to walk through the door. Understand, God has places he has opened for you. Walk on in. Step over that line. And God will give you a Cyrus anointing. Listen to this. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. Wow. To subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Only God can do stuff like this, but it takes people who step in that direction. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Are you listening? Say, we are in a season of the open door. Windows are open also. Gates are open. And I will meditate on truth day and night. I have an assignment from God in my life. I hope you find yours. It's not yet complete. Newsflash, you are not finished. Calvary Christian Center is not finished in its purpose. You will rise to the top. You will rise, listen, unveiled, the hand of the Lord moving in a very unique way at Calvary Christian Center. Something is about to turn in our nation. Eternity is about to invade earth. And you feel the trembling and you feel the shaking of God. And everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Something has to change. There is a flipping in the order of things. And we don't know how to handle it. We wonder, well, what in the world is going to happen with the culture we're living in and the stuff we're looking at and those that are running for office. And the holy angels are armored up all ready for this. What we need to do is show up and be where God ordained us to be. So touch your knees, one then the other. Because that's where you're going to do your warfare. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So if you want to know why we are still standing when attacked, we drop to our knees and rely on, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, offering prayer, offering ourselves to the Lord. We have a God who sends strength to the weary. And for when we wait upon the Lord, we get to renew our strength. We mount up with wings as eagles. We get to run and not grow weary. We walk and don't faint. Every evil force that has ever come against us will not win. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So, church, we are not to just sit here with our arms folded, but rise and stand the enemy down. Because God's not going to do it all for us any more than He did for Israel when He said, I've given you this land, now you go take it. I will go before you, you will conquer it, it will be your land, but you will have to fight and run off those that have occupied it. So you're not going to get to sit in church with your arms folded. God's just by sovereign will going to sweep the nation clean. No, it's going to come through the body of Christ. This is not the time to go backwards. We step right, we step left, we step forward. If you remember when we did that a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, we did not step backwards. Backwards is never and not an option. We are going forward. Say, we are going forward. That means I have to pray more. I have to worship more. I have to dig in His Word more. I have to press in to a deeper walk with the Lord more. I don't have to wait for the worship team to lead me to God. I will lead myself into God's presence. Amen. I will show up ready when I walk onto the campus of the house of God. This is the day and the season of the Almighty God. Amen. Now about that time, see seasons. Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. We're in that same kind of a time. I'll explain to you. Herod represents a corrupt world system. And just so you may know, the systems of this world, the kingdoms of this world, none of them will remain standing. And Herod represents that. This is what happens when it is corrupted to the core. A government that thinks it's in charge. And Herod decides he's going to harass the church. Look at what's happening in our nation. There are those who have deliberately harassed the church and they have broken laws in doing it and are still free. There were times when high school graduations were held in church sanctuaries. Now there are religious symbols here. So for the few who might be offended, we now go elsewhere. We need to figure out who is God, who is our God in America. America needs to figure out who is our God. In my house, we serve the Lord God. It doesn't matter who comes into our house, but we don't change serving God. We live according to the scripture. These are the principles we live by. In our house, you will abide by them. If someone cannot abide by them, that's their choice, but I will not change my convictions because you don't like my God. And America has to stop compromising and changing its rules because some don't like our God. If you don't like our God, don't come. And there is a harassment of the church now that has continued to escalate in our culture. Watch this. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Leaders of the church are being targeted in America. A death sentence to take out their influence and their ministry. And then it goes on to say, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, there are those in our culture who are excited that Christians are being persecuted. They're excited that Christians' voices are being downplayed and we're being locked out of the system and out of having a voice. Our leadership today wants to assist refugees. All well and good, just not Christian refugees. And some who call themselves Christians, oh my goodness, have used over and over social media to kill other Christians. And so the world watches us cannibalize one another in the body of Christ. And so that's why I did this with Facebook this morning, because I know a minister of the gospel who was practically cannibalized on Facebook. Instead of edifying one another, it's like crabs in a basket, scampering to get out and pulling one another down, never letting any of them get out. And say anything that gets social media's attention. Listen, so people don't operate off of the truth. They just operate off of hits and respond emotionally. If something gets hit, they just keep playing it and playing it. So when all of a sudden they don't like a statement or a position, then they go into attack mode. And the attacker gets favored for trashing somebody else. Herod was feeling puffed up and great. He killed James. And those who hated the gospel applauded it. My goodness, if they had Facebook back then, it would have exploded. They were happy. Herod wanted more popularity. And he would stay on that track because he went viral with what he did. He proceeded further to seize Peter also. And that was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So who did Herod go arrest? Peter. He had already killed James, and Herod was excited, and so he goes after Peter. And whenever you mention Peter, see, shift, because God had a destiny for him in the kingdom, all right? And look at this with clarity. Peter represented the church because Peter was the one who was charged. Upon this rock I will build my church. And I will just attack the church, Herod said. Open your eyes, Calvary. There's been major attacks on the church. Just a few years ago, the government went after some churches and some preachers who had prominence. And the government asked them to open their books. And many of them, thankfully, declined to do so. See, it went against the argument that the government uses against us whenever we start speaking up. Separation of church and state. So they sent out the IRS. And there was harassment and there were threats. And if they had not stood their ground, the veil would have been torn down, where they could walk into any church at any time and make demands. Thank God they stood their ground, because when they stood their ground, they defended every one of us in the body of Christ. Recently, leaders went after Christian colleges in California, Christian universities, and the goal, ultimately, take away their tax-exempt status. Stop the voice that they speak and stop up what it is that they're disseminating in the truths that we stand on and the principles of morality that we believe in. Take it away, threaten them. A protected entity that began in the earliest days of our culture, because those who voiced the stand of Christian principles were always given the protection, because our country once stood for those same principles. Even though not everybody was a Christian, everybody agreed these are the morals by which we will operate our way of life. And the plan, take away your rights. Close down the Christian influence in our state. But they messed up with their timing. Doesn't mean they won't come back, but they messed up with their timing. They want an attack. They went after those Christian universities. When Wall Street has been the one ripping them off for decades, arguing about free will offerings when being beaten up by those they actually subsidize every single week. So here's how they want to play it. Like the time I left the store with an item I purchased, when I got home, I noticed the sales rep had failed to take off that plastic security device that they plant into those garments. And you cannot get those off without destroying the garment. So it belonged to the store until I took it back and had them remove it. So to keep your tax-exempt status, we control what you say. That's the message. Keeping the church locked down. So when they change laws and change standards held from our foundations, we can't say anything, because then we would be in violation. And Peter was in jail because he proclaimed the truth of God's word. And there are those who have held us in prison for a while. And for many churches, they're just simply pleased with a building and a band. As long as we can go to our building and listen to our band, we're happy. We're good Christians, content to do church. No, that's not where it starts and ends. We are on a mission. Every day we are quiet, we lose. I said, every day we are quiet, we lose. We have to find our voice again in this culture. We have to speak up for what we know God's word says. We speak the truth in love. There were Roman soldiers keeping Peter bound. Listen to this. Intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But what happened? But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant. Didn't stop. All day, all night. God has a plan for the leadership of our community, our state, and our nation. And we need to pray, and we need to fast, and we need to vote coming in the month of November. We need to do all three, pray and fast and vote. Because last presidential election, 25 million evangelical voices just seemed to go off the radar. But the church has to pray to see who he has chosen. And it's not the choice for the media to decide, which is what they've been trying to do now for decades. We the people must know. Prayer was offered to God for Peter by the church. When will the church begin to intercede for the church? To hear the voice of God. And for therefore, as a result of that, having impact in our culture. Many people just come to prayer for personal breakthrough. This is what I need in my life, Lord. I got to have this. But we better start getting busy praying for more than just our personal breakthrough, or we're going to lose our country and we're going to lose our freedom. We must declare before God our dependency on Him. 100%, Lord, we are dependent on You and You alone. We must pray in humility. We must declare His promises and say, Lord, we have to trust You. We've got no other source to trust. Forgiveness, healing, provision, deliverances, that our families are whole again, that our hearts are healed, that our minds get in alignment with Your truth, so we stop being ignorant of what Your word says and start not being culturalized, but now we are being biblically oriented in our speech and our decisions. Listen, no longer will family members be on drugs because the power of the Lord delivers them. Our children are in order. Our children's children are in order. Generations are in order. And then we get to celebrate the third great awakening in these United States of America. We must reverse what has happened in our land. And by this time, we ought to have seen the manifestation of God's glory. Everyone here is an intercessor. Everybody knows how to pray. And your prayers must go up to God. We need everything holding us down to be loosed in our minds and in our hearts, loosed in our homes, loosed in our finances. Jesus is waiting at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated together with Him in heavenly places, where far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that has authority over you other than the Lord and His word. So if you are down here begging, you are praying from earth up. If you are seated with Jesus, take authority over that adversity in the name of Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are not begging. We are declaring the word of the Lord. And His word will not return void. My word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Say showdown time. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Boy, I'll bet he was grateful he had a church like that back in him. God doesn't just call us a church. We are also a house of prayer. And in this move of God, we have to step out of our convenient comfort places and get on our knees and ask God to help us. And why on our knees? Because it shows God a humility. It says to God, I need your help. Starting to believe Him, and He will use Calvary Christian Center to be a church that ignites prayer revival. It will attract black, white, everybody. It will change our community. There'll be a great awakening breaking across our community and state, spreading and connecting to simultaneous moves of God's Spirit until they blend into one massive body of Christ on fire for God. We haven't walked through hell to just sit back. We are called to shake nations, and the hand of the Lord is upon His people. And when the church does what? Prays. Because we are not the tail, we are the head. And Peter is in prison, and the system is about to make a mockery of him. And when Herod was about to bring him out, the Herods have been planning their strike against the church. And little by little, incrementally, they have pulled out the foundational stakes that the church has established that made this nation a great godly nation. And they've been planning, plotting, and executing it with excellence. But there's another newsflash, incoming text. It will not go the way they plotted. God will get the glory. And Herod should have known not to mess here. Well, Pastor, why? Because the word says that Jesus had a little chat with Peter. Satan has asked for you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Peter was protected because Jesus had prayed for him. And Jesus has prayed for us. Can anybody thank the Lord right now? Amen? So Peter was protected. And he was sleeping. He was so relaxed in that protection. Bound with two chains between two soldiers. With another level of soldiers that were level after level after level in that prison. Guarding him. The church has been chained in these days. But late in the midnight hour, God turned it all around. I love it because God waits to the midnight hour before he strikes. It worked in our... Listen, there's something, research it in Scripture, about the midnight hour and God doing something. It worked in our favor. We're still here. We're still standing. Don't mess with the apple of God's eye. So the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So he's not only chained between a few soldiers, now there are guards keeping the gates and the doors. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. That's Peter. And a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter in the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly!" And his chains fell off of his hands. No matter where you're bound, you're about to be loosed. Anybody ready for that? Amen? Soldiers everywhere. Now, these are not just flunkies. These are the best of the best serving the king, Herod, of the Roman Empire. Soldiers everywhere. He was bound by two chains on top of it, and there were guards at the door. And listen, there are situations you can do nothing about. You can't do a thing about it. So what am I supposed to do? Go to sleep. Don't stay up worrying. Relax. Because you can't fix it. And while you're sleeping, your angels are awake and they're moving. Thank the Lord. We pray that prayer all the time with our grandchildren. Nothing to be afraid of while we're sleeping. Because God's given his angels charge over us. That will watch out for us all through the night hours. Amen? So rest, baby. Just rest. You'll need your strength a little bit later. And the angel raised Peter up. Time to move. Calvary, it's time to move. Chains fell off. Chains fall off when you start moving. Start moving. Chains fall off. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment. Follow me. Let's go. Get yourself up. Dress yourself. It's time to move. You didn't suffer in here for no reason. Gird yourself. Get your shoes on. Put your holy garment, prayer garment back on. Put your prayer shawl back on. Put on the garment of praise. Give thanks to God." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Yeah. He thought he was having a dream. And when God moves in your life, you'll walk in favor and think you're dreaming. Say, "This can't be happening. Because unto him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, may there be praise and glory in the church by Christ Jesus." What does that mean? Our children are serving Jesus. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They know what it means to speak in a language that only God can give them. We have a ministry to be in the marketplace and to be wherever God has planted us, revealing Jesus personally, not churchified. So the power I walk in, the same power is in you. And the same word is in you. And it needs to be used in the marketplaces of life. And it's time for the church to do its thing in this culture. From heaven down, listen, our children will not be destroyed by lusts. Rather, they will burn with the power of the Holy Spirit, ignited deeply in their hearts. I'm tired of this mess. It's time for a great awakening in our culture. And when they were past the first and the second guard posts, I'm sure that angel had to keep these guards off balance. I'd like to know what he said to them when he walked by them. That just absolutely froze them. They came to the iron gate now that leads to the city. They're coming out of the entire prison complex, which opened to them of its own accord. Because God loves opening doors that we can never unlock. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Altar time is what we need at Calvary Christian Center. Because that's what motivated God to do something amazing in the middle of this mess. Because gates are opening even when we don't think we deserved it. Amen? There are times when we feel disqualified. Lord, I don't deserve you to do this for me. But the Holy Spirit says, let that go. I'm going to give it to you. Just take it. And the angel takes Peter to the city, and then he disappears. Took him out of the prison into the city and said, you take it from here. You turn around looking for the angel and you can't find him. And he says to you, you can take it from here. Because he's gone before. He has made the doors open. Now walk in that power. Go do what Jesus assigned you to do. Do your assignment. And while all of this is going on, the church was still praying. Much good stuff is happening because you're praying. Amen? Praying even when discouraged. Prayer changes things. And God responds to prayer. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, Peter approaches the place where the church is assembled. And he continues knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. We've arrived for such a time as this. We are here in our city with a testimony. So, God has a message for his people we need to hear. God is at work. Everything that once held you bound will be killed. Because when Herod had searched for him, that's Peter, and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded they be put to death. Just a little while later, Herod then held a feast and still refused to praise the God that by now he had to know was doing some very unusual things in the city of Jerusalem. And so in his refusal to praise God and continue to puff himself up, the angel of the Lord struck him. Because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. The scripture teaches us the world and all that is in it is passing away. It's dying. That's the term we use when a loved one leaves us. It passed away. And the scripture teaches us very clearly that the world and everything in it is passing away. It's dying. the anti-God culture is going to die. And since we have failed to do our assignment, our children have to battle in this system today with confusion. Because we don't even know what bathroom to use anymore. That's how messed up we are in this confused society. And I'm telling you, that's over. Because heaven is going to invade earth. Amen? I said, heaven is going to invade earth. And when heaven invades earth, we won't have any more confusion about gender. And he made them male and female. And so you won't have to worry about standing up in front of a class and addressing them all as scholars, so that you will not offend either the males or the females in the class. Now we're living in a day when heaven is about to invade earth. So here's what I'd like to give you as a homework assignment this week. 3 times per day, start praying the Lord's Prayer. And as you pray it, let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, verse by verse. When you read a few words from one of the verses, stop every few words and allow, get somewhere where you're undistracted and allow the Holy Spirit to ignite it in you. Our Father, which art in heaven, three times a day, read and meditate in the Lord's Prayer. And when the church authentically prays, things happen. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to authentically pray? Because there's a big move about to happen. Once again, in our lifetime. And we'll see a stirring in the cities across America. And when the angels showed up in the prison, a light came. I've seen that light. It's a light that's going to shine in this darkness. And God is leading us from freedom to in victory. And we've been silent too long, into freedom, into victory. Because this is a war, but we have to fight in order to win. And our fight is done right here. And then when we've charged up by plugging in here, it immediately then allows us then to be able to speak with a voice that's heard in our culture. We've been silent too long. Way too long. And we must build ourselves up in the Lord once again. Because victory comes only through prayer. All you need to do is read about the first great awakening and the second great awakening. And in each case, both of those moves of God began with a handful of people who said, enough. We're going to our knees. We're going to war. We're going to pray. Till we hear from heaven. We have to slow down enough to reconnect with the Almighty. And when God begins to move, folks, everything that has disturbed us, bothered us, and troubled us, God will begin to change, because he changes the hearts of people when he begins to move in mighty power. And the change won't come by force. It will come because we have prayed and God changes the hearts. When hearts get changed, all kinds of other things get changed along with it. Righteousness rules. Right and wrong are clear again. It's no longer what's right for you, that's good for you. And what's right for me, and that's good for me. It's this is what God says is right. And it's good for you, and it's good for me. And that's how we're going to live our lives out in our culture. Amen? Praise God, everybody. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let's gather together.